Can you bring us up to speed about the latest aid funding, and on what ground is your government injecting this extra funding?
Yes, of course. Well, the UK government is actually announcing a £52 million humanitarian package. And whilst £10 million of that will be directly for the people in South Sudan, the remainder will be to support refugees in Uganda, Ethiopia and Sudan, so that we're ensuring that those people who haven't been able to stay in the country, who have been displaced, who have fled, still receive a package of support.
Mm-hmm. And Becky, just one person may ask, is South Sudan still worth spending all this money on?
Absolutely. The UK won't stand by. I mean, the world watched with joy 4 years ago. But unfortunately, the impact of conflict has been devastating. Mm. And it's really important to us that we continue to support the people and ensure that they have access to life-saving shelter, food and education.
All right, so, I mean, there's this cooperation in the country's education sector, and if there's any project you are looking at in the future about the education sector, what would that be?
Well, at the moment, we already have quite a large program that supports over 300,000 girls and boys in schools, and we work really closely with the Ministry of Education here. We're currently in talks with them about a new program, and so we will continue to support the education of young people in South Sudan. Education is absolutely key, and the UK want to stand right behind that.
Right.
And let's talk to Mike here in the studio, who is the Chargé d'Affaires of the UK Embassy in the country. Well, Mike, tomorrow marks exactly 4 years since conflict broke out in South Sudan, leaving a lot of destruction and despair. Of course, South Sudanese have been yearning and trying to call for peace. They are tired of war. Now, what are you asking the parties to this conflict to do as we mark these 4 years of conflict in the country?
Well, as Beck said, 4 years ago, we were looking on with optimism and looking at a huge range of things that were going to happen in South Sudan, including investment and other support that the UK and other partners could give to South Sudan. Mm-hmm. We're in a very different situation today. It's a dire situation. The humanitarian impact has been devastating, and it's intolerable what mm-hmm. we've seen. So we, through the UK as a member of the Troika, which with our US and Norwegian colleagues, as well as with the EU and other partners, we are fully behind and fully supportive of the revitalization process, which is kicking off, as you know, on Monday. Mm-hmm. This is a critical opportunity, unique opportunity to make progress towards peace. As I said, the dire situation, as Bex has described, the dire situation illustrates illustrated by the humanitarian response plan yesterday, demonstrates the impact this conflict has had, and we expect now the government of the Republic of South Sudan to adhere to its commitments mm-hmm. and engage in good faith, and to support the immediate cessation of hostilities, to stop the fighting in South Sudan. Now, the government of South Sudan is also party to the conflict, and it's absolutely essential that no party going to the talks on Monday should have a veto or set preconditions that would exert undue influence on the process. The Troika has issued a statement, as you will have seen overnight, mm-hmm. Making clear the what we expect from this process. Now, the opposition also have a role to play, mm-hmm. and they also bear a responsibility to come to the table and be fully represented, and again with no preconditions, so that a proper discussion can take place and a proper process to revitalize this agreement. I just want to commend the tireless work of IGAD, the leadership from the regional body IGAD, to build peace, and through the work of the envoy, the special envoy to South Sudan, Ismail Wais, and for all his efforts. It's really important that IGAD speak with one voice and mm-hmm. be united and support behind this process. And we will stand behind IGAD mm-hmm. as the Troika, but also with our partners in the EU and elsewhere, with Canada, with the other countries actively engaged in South Sudan, mm-hmm. to make progress towards peace, and so that the implementation, revitalization of of the agreement that was signed in 2015 can take place.
Yes.
And our readiness, mm-hmm. of course, I should also emphasize the readiness for us to take action if necessary
right.
for those who obstruct the peace process.
Yes, and that's what I was coming into, actually. A lot of these calls have been made before for the warring sides to show political will for them to put the interests of the South Sudanese past and not their first interests. And they should go there in all, like, wanting to bring peace. But all these calls have been made and nothing has really changed that much. I mean, what is different this time? What actions will be taken if the warring parties go with all these reservations and lack of commitment to bring genuine peace to the people of South Sudan?
Well, I think it's really important that we don't get ahead of ourselves. We've got an opportunity on Monday. This process is being launched. It's got the support of the region. It's got the support of the international community. It's got the commitment of the government of South Sudan to engage in this process.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what happens. We will be there. We will be there to support the parties. We will be there to support IGAD in the work ahead. As I said, if there are people out there who want to obstruct this process, the people of South Sudan, we have to keep foremost in our minds, and that's the most important thing. But we do stand ready to take action against those that obstruct this process. We have come too far. This is the best and last chance, I think, to save this process, and I'm very keen that we get that message clearly to everyone. That's why we the UK government and with the Troika partners and the EU and others are supporting it.
Right. If you just join us, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show, and our guest this morning here in the studio is Mike Riley, who is charged the affairs of the UK Embassy in South Sudan. We have Bex Buckingham, who is head of office and officer in charge of the UK aid program in the country. On the humanitarian ground, Bex, we've seen, for the last 4 years, as Mike did mention there, that the UK has been supporting in humanitarian, and one of the biggest donors when it comes to the humanitarian situation in the country. And of course, you just announced new humanitarian help to the country. How long will this go? How long will you continue, continuously help people like that? I mean, isn't there something that should be done so people can be able to help themselves instead of just relying on this aid that is being given to them?
I mean, let me be clear, and any aid that we provide will only treat the symptoms of the humanitarian crisis. Humanitarian aid cannot solve the fact that people have not been able to plant, people mm-hmm. have not been able to harvest, people have had to leave their villages, their homes, their land behind. And the UK will continue to support those people in two ways, through the political process that Mike has talked about, ensuring that the guns fall silent and that people can go back to their lives. But until that point, the UK will continue to support them with essential services, health, humanitarian, whether that be shelter, food, medicine, education. But we're hoping that, as Mike has said, this is an opportunity, and before not too long, we can start not to have to keep pouring aid into the country.
Right. And now, Mike, Oxfam is asking for a separate civil society-led consultation process for the peace agreement on grounds that the voices of the people are not being heard. What are your thoughts about this?
Well, I think this is a very, very important aspect of the peace process. I think we've seen from previous peace negotiations, from previous reconciliation negotiations, that if you don't have the engagement of women, of civil society, those peace agreements tend not to do as well. So it's really important. And of course, in South Sudan, where you have the majority of the people of South Sudan are women, and their interests of women, the interests of the very young population you have in South Sudan also need to be respected, and also the wide range of others in the country, their interests need to be represented there. So I'm very I think this is a really important point. I know the civil society have got a place at the talks, and that is really welcome, and I would encourage civil society to talk and give their views, and for those that support them to express their views in the forum, mm-hmm. and use the forum as an opportunity. As I say, this is a critical and last opportunity really for us to make progress at this juncture. Otherwise the conflict will continue, the fighting will continue, and as Beck says, the humanitarian consequences of that are devastating for this country and for the people of this country.
And that'll be too bad. Hopefully it won't happen like that. And now, Mike, ending on a lighter note, what is your Xmas and New Year message?
I think, to the people of South Sudan, the UK stands behind you. We're supporting you. To the girls and boys of South Sudan, we're very much supporting this peace process because we want it to succeed so that you've got a bright future ahead of you and that you can look forward to very many happy Christmases in the future. So to everyone in South Sudan, a very, very warm and happy Christmas. Mm-hmm. In these very difficult circumstances, you know you have the UK's support, and we're thinking about you, and that's why we're here.
All right, and coming to Bex, just before you also send your Christmas message, the aid agencies have projected that the humanitarian needs is expected to rise in 2018. Do we have any explanation to that?
There's one very short answer for that: conflict. The continuing conflict in this country has meant that we've now had two seasons where the people of South Sudan have not been able to plant and have not been able to harvest. Mm-hmm. That, of course, is going to mean that that people are on the edge of food security, that they are struggling to find food to eat. Mm-hmm. So, yes, as the regional coordinator, the humanitarian coordinator, Alan Nudu, said yesterday at the launch of the humanitarian appeal, more people are going to be, you know, in really dire straits. So the conflict needs to end so that we can stop having to support them.
Right. Now, finally, your Christmas message. What could you like to say out there to the South Sudanese listening to us?
To all of the South Sudanese, but I'm going to echo Mike's point. There are difficult times and there are difficult times ahead, but the South Sudanese people are probably the most resilient people I have ever come across. And so I want to wish them the merriest and happiest of Christmases and hope and optimism for the new year.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bex, for coming to Mirai Studios. We really do appreciate your time. Thank you, Mike, for coming here. Been always good talking to you on the Mirai Breakfast. So we do appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And once again, Bex Buckingham is the head of office and officer in charge of the UK and aid program in South Sudan. Mike Rayleigh is in charge of the affairs. Thank you so much for coming. And that leaves us with only 27 minutes past the hour, 8 a.m. Good morning. This is the Mirai Breakfast Show.